Okay, good morning. It's the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. Praise the Lord, the sovereignty. There's a day that is the Lord's. It's even named after Him. Man named all the other days, but this one the Lord named, because it's His day, the whole day. So we are glad that we could be together the whole day. So we have a wonderful day in the Lord on the Lord's Day. Coming to the Lord, opening the Lord, enjoying the Lord, being with all the other lovers of Jesus. Aren't you happy? The Lord's called you to this marvelous place. What would your life be without the Lord, without the church, without the brothers and sisters? It's a miserable place. But with the Lord, we have joy. Aren't you happy? Lovely place. Church of Jesus. God's garden growing in this lovely place. So we're continuing. We'll have a little session this morning before the table meeting. We'll take a break before the table meeting so we can stretch and then welcome all the ones that are not participating in the team reunion. If you're here this morning and weren't here last night, then you may not have an orange folder, and we have outlines for you on today's message so you can follow along. So if you want to raise your hand, if you don't have the orange folder, you'll need the outline. So the ushers have copies. There's just a few. Here's one over here, a couple over here. Get them an outline, a message too. Yeah. And then after the Lord's table, there'll be quite a few more saints. That's message 5, so you may want to have some of those copies prepared too, so we can move along. Okay, all of you here last night, right? Anybody just joining us this morning, first time? One over here, a couple over here, okay. We have a fellowship going this weekend concerning the students and training them and equipping them. But we saw last night that God wants all His people to be trained, equipped, and mobilized, so we're just focusing on the students, because we have a need on the campuses to reach out, and it's a special weekend that we're focusing on the college campuses. So we take care of all aspects of the church, all ages. I hope some are burdened for the older saints so they can wheel me around in my wheelchair and I can still enjoy the Lord in my old age and still dispense Christ. So we need people burdened for the older folks. We need people burdened for the infants and for the young children and for the high school, junior high, and the college age. So we're just taking a particular slice of humanity and focusing on that. I hope all of you are burdened for the college students. If not, you just pick up the principles and apply them to whoever you're burdened for. The principles are all good. Okay, so let's go on. We, as Paul mentioned, let's flip back to the table of contents under the white tab, just to make sure we're clear where we are this morning. And the topic again is training and equipping students for the increase and building up, not of the campus, not of a good Bible study, but of the church. Amen. The campus is not God's eternal purpose. The church is God's eternal purpose. So everything we do on the campus is just the church seeking increase. And as Andrew showed us last night, we have to have some increase among younger people or the aging will keep rising and we'll be in trouble. Aging means death is on the way, so we don't want the Lord's recovery to die out. We need the next generation. So we need to mobilize the students so they can gain other students. So you have this topic, and then we have 5 messages. We'll insert one on full-timers, but just going down this list of messages, mobilizing the students was last night. And then this morning we're going to talk about internship, which is another term for training and equipping people. So if you don't like the word internship, just substitute in your mind training, equipping. And then we'll get into later today. We were asked after last year's team reunion, and we talked about the internship. Some ask us, well, how do you train your students in Austin? What do you do? We take them out to the camp, and we have days of actual training. We go through role playing. We go through demonstrations. We go through group them up and practice. They actually do what they're going to do on the campus when we're not there. Well, we're in the shadows, but we're not there right next to them. We want them to carry out an effective outreach to the incoming freshmen. So we have a training. So that's what 3 and 4 are about. It won't be complete. We'll just take some highlights to give you an idea how to train, how we train anyway. Y'all can improve on that, maybe pick up some of our principles. And then we'll have a coordinating message 5 with the church as a container for increase. So that'll be actually taken out of sequence and shared right after the Lord's table, because we have a good number of community saints that we'd like them to get that fellowship, because that one's directed toward the families, and particularly those that have a home and are open to receive the students. So that's kind of the way things flow through this reunion. And now let's go ahead and focus on starting an internship, which is the message 2. What page is that on? Is that 7? Okay. All right. So starting an internship infers that you have some students. So if you don't have any students, don't have anything going on the campus, we're going to talk about that this morning too, so don't worry, we'll cover that base. Let me ask you first of all, how many are in this room that are teachers, either elementary, junior high, high school, or college teachers? Why don't you raise your hand if you're a teacher? You've done teaching before. Okay. All right, let me ask you, teachers and all the others, what are some of the ways we teach people? What are some of the teaching methods that we use? What's the most common teaching method? Yes, sister?
Hear, see, do.
Hear, see, do. Okay. Hear, see, and do. Okay, so what are some of the methods, y'all? I'm going to list out some of the methods. What are some of the methods?
Lecture.
Okay, that's very common. What other kind of methods do they use in teaching?
Labs,
very good. Get in there and get your hands into the chemicals and singe your eyebrows, burn the tips of your fingers. Ah, now you're going to learn, right? You're going to, okay, got it. That's a chemical reaction. I feel it. Huh? Discussion. Okay. Role playing. Anybody else? Teachers or had teaching or what other kind of ways do we teach? Homework? That's got homework, all right. Assignments to homework. Work at home. Huh? Student presentation. What was the other one?
PowerPoint.
Something visual up there. Visual. Very good.
Testing.
What?
Testing.
Okay. Testing. Got a review. What about how many became high school teachers or junior high teachers? Did you have to do something before they turned you loose in the classroom? Huh? Training. Student teaching. Okay. These are all good teaching methods. Okay, there's been research done on these types of methods and which are most effective. So the National Teaching Lab has done studies and performed research to see what's the most effective way to teach someone, to communicate, to have them enter into what you're trying to get them to do. And so among these, right here, they divided them into passive teaching methods, which I'm doing right now. This is somewhat like a lecture. Okay, I'm going to try to make it not totally lecture, but lecturing is actually the least effective method. I'm using the least effective method right now to try to teach you. And the retention rate is a whopping 5%. This is research done. 5%. Okay. Then there's another. You can add something to that. And if I have you read something like these outlines, then we increase it, we double it, we get up to 10%. So if I speak into you and have you read something, weeks from now, months from now, 10% of what we covered you'll retain. Not too effective. And then there's what? Paul used a method last night. Audio, video, and audio clips. And that gets you up to 20%, I think, right? So you're impressed, like now, the students, the videos of students, like not live testimonies, but speaking. Somebody came up to me afterward and said, "Hey, can we get our hands on those video clips so we can show those to our students when we take them out to the camp?" So that brother realized, oh, there's value right there. They didn't ask for Paul's message. They wanted those videos. More effective. Okay, and then there's demonstration. We'll have some of those. Demo, okay. And that gets you up to, I think it's 30%. Okay, these are all passive ways. You're sitting there and you're getting told or read to or watching something or listening to something or watching, yeah, right? I think it was Benjamin Franklin said, he's a great inventor. He said, "Tell me something and I forget it. Tell it to me, I forget it." Then he said, "Teach me and I may remember." I may remember. If you teach me, I may remember. "Involve me and I learn." Involve me and I learn. So now we'd like to look at some methods that involve you. So what are some of the participatory methods for teaching? Writing? Okay. So that would fall under, I think the next one, what is it, Paul? Is it discussion? Group discussion, yeah. Group discussion. And when you're in group discussion, I think it would fall here, Marty, about note-taking and discussing, writing, discussion. Group discussion gets it up to 50%. All right, then you can go higher. What's even better than group discussion? Practice. How many of you were in athletics or in music growing up? What did the teacher always have you do? Practice. Get out on that field and practice. Get behind that piano and practice. Practice, practice. That's involving. That's participatory. You learn how to play the piano by playing the piano. You learn how to kick a soccer ball by kicking the soccer ball. You learn how to preach the gospel by preaching the gospel. You learn how to shepherd people by shepherding people. You learn how to raise up believers by raising them up. You're participating. Okay, practice. And that gets you up to 75%. Is that right? And then, the top way, there's even a higher percent. And what is that?
Teaching others.
When you are taught That's why student teaching, they have you student teach. When you have to teach it, you really get into it. You learn it. Involve me. When you have to teach it, when you have to impart it, that's the highest percent. That gets you up to 90% learning, retaining. So why don't you flash this? Here it is right here, the learning pyramid. Passive teaching methods, lecture, reading, audio, visual, demonstration. Then there's a line, and you get down to another group of methods, which is participatory teaching methods. And you have group discussion, practice, and teaching others. And then one of the charts says immediately teaching others as soon as possible. So what do you think we should, if we wanted to be very effective in our outreach and in raising up the churches and the saints, what method should we choose? Should we be 5% effective or 90% effective? I like to go with the 90 myself. I'm running out of time here. If I mess around with 5%, I'm not going to have much to show, but I'm going to go for all the marbles here. So we like to get into teaching others. Okay, so you got that? All right, now let's look at message 2. That puts this in perspective of an internship. An internship is an arrangement where you're alongside, like Timothy was with Paul, like Mark was with Peter, like the disciples were with the Lord Jesus, in action, side by side. So they were learning. They were in an internship. And they were doing what the Lord was doing. It was a training and equipping. Paul took Timothy along. He didn't just tell Timothy, Timothy, you should do this. Goodbye, I'm going on my journeys. I'll let you know how it goes when I come back. No, it's come along with me, Timothy. We're going together. Okay, this is the way Timothy learned. This is an internship. And the Lord took 12 of these guys or more, and he took them alongside with him, right? That is the most effective way. So that's what an internship is in the ministry. Let's have the sisters read the first paragraph here. Okay, 1988, Brother Lee is telling us this should be our future situation. We should have this type of training, internship, for our future, right? Okay, then how about the brothers on the next quote?
We realize that the brothers and sisters serving full time in the churches are inadequate in many ways, and that there is a need for some to perfect them properly. Thus, we have picked up the burden to provide these full timers with some training. After the training, we need to consider where we should send them. For example, when someone establishes a medical school or a department of medicine, there
Exactly. They must go out and practically apply. They have to practice. UT is building a medical school, UT Austin. And guess where they're building it? Right next to a hospital. Why do they do that? Because they know the most effective way to get doctors experienced is to let them have an apprenticeship or internship so that they can learn what they have, they can do what they've been learning in school. They can practice. That's why I like the doctors that have the gray hair. Experience. I'm so glad that after medical school, 4 years, they don't let those kids go into surgery and, you know, yeah, cut off the wrong thing. Yeah, I want their hands to be in someone's abdomen on a cadaver and then live before they start messing with minor parts, right? So practice, practice, practice. So when you get to me, you know what you're doing. Don't practice on me. Well, I guess you're practicing medicine, but... So you got to do it to be effective, right? Okay, how about this last quote? How about all together? This is Brother Nee now comparing this age. This is a mind blower. This age is an internship. We're learning. You'll like this quote. Go ahead, everybody. So today's an internship to serve the Lord in the next age. He wants some to be trained. Do you want to be in the 1,000-year period? Well, don't show up without training. That's not there'll be more training, I'm sure, then, but you got to be trained to be useful to the Lord during the 1,000-year period. What do you think we're going to be doing, those that can get there? What do you think we're going to be doing during the 1,000-year period? Just what? Going to be administrating his economy on this earth, this renewed earth. He needs people that know him, know his ways, and know how to coordinate in fellowship. What are we doing today? We're getting to know him. We're getting to know his ways. We're getting to know how to fellowship and coordinate, right? We're in a period of internship. Okay, so that's the need is evident that we need to take this way of internship and training. Okay, so let's look at the Roman numeral 1. We're going to have some basic principles, right? Okay, so let's go ahead and read A. Okay, so this is a quote that, how about we read this quote together? Go. So we have to see the preciousness, you can underline in the second line, the preciousness of the young people and their importance in God's hands. All people are valuable to the Lord. God wants all men to be saved. And for many years when I was working downtown Austin, there was a retirement home next to me, and I would go there on the week during the lunch, weekdays lunches, and take care of the old ladies. I was about in my 30s then. I had a heart for them and old men. Usually there's more ladies than men because we die off earlier than the ladies for various reasons. That's been researched too. But they're all gone now. I outlived them. So I realized, well, wait a minute. If there's going to be a future, I should focus my attention on people younger than me so when I'm gone, they can carry on what we want to do in the Lord's recovery. So the importance of them in this way, all people are valuable, but there's a future with the young ones. I think we're all clear about that. So B says, being desperate for fruit bearing, mainly in prayer. So this is a big need, is to be desperate. Brother Lee mentions in the video clip, we're not showing it, but he talks about this is one of the hardest things to do is make people desperate for fruit bearing. And so if you don't have that feeling about fruit bearing, then prayer to cause you to be desperate. Ask the Lord, Lord, what about me bearing fruit? I'm a branch in the vine. This is my destiny, is to bear fruit. Even in John 15, he says he's going to clip us off if we don't bear fruit. And I believe it's been somewhat commonplace among many of us in the recovery that we feel okay if we don't have any fruit. We're enjoying the Lord in a certain level, but there's a higher level of joy in the Lord, and that's when you enter into fruit-bearing, into bringing people into that joy. You experience that joy. You know, produce a fruit on the end of a vine, that life juice has to flow through that stem, right? But there's no fruit at the end of that vine that it doesn't need to be flowing. You can just picture biologically or in botany, Paul, is it true? If there's a watermelon or a cluster of grapes on the other end of that stem, there's got to be all that life flowing. That stem is enjoying all that life flowing through, compared to a stem that has no fruit on the end. Which one is experiencing more life flowing through it? Obviously, to get a watermelon, everything had to go through that stem, right? Then that branch experienced a lot more life than the one that had nothing flowing through it? Obviously. So if your church life is somewhat ho-hum or somewhat boring, it may be that there's nobody on the other end of that stem that's drawing that life through you. That fruit actually draws that life through you. I'm going beyond my field here, but I'm guessing right now as I'm speaking that there is a draw. It's not that the stem is wanting to pump resources through that, but there's something on the other end that's sucking that, that's pulling that those resources through that stem. Maybe I'm right.
Yeah, there's a source, there's a sink.
Okay, there's a source and there's a
sink.
Not a kitchen sink, but a... What is a sink, Paul? Come here.
That's the receiving end of the supply.
The sink. Okay. So that organism has the ability to bear fruit. But if there's no fruit, then it's really not in its destiny and it's not experiencing the fullness of its life. So being desperate. Is your experience of Christ somewhat dry or somewhat limited or somewhat short? It very well could be that there's no fruit in your hand that's drawing that life through you. So your experience of Christ is very much diminished. Why do you think Paul the Apostle was a top enjoyer of Christ? He could rejoice in any kind of circumstance. It was unbelievable. Put me in a prison at midnight with my feet in stocks, and my back flayed or beaten, and I'm praying and praising the Lord. He was fully in the gospel, fully for people. He was fully supplied. Top enjoyer. Also the top dispenser, right? Okay, so being desperate is a real key, and having even a desire to raise up students, a desire to have an internship. There's principles here. You have to see the need of the young people and have some desperateness to bear them. Okay? And now C is the right target, the right time, and the right people. What do we mean by this? The right target. So we're going to have an internship or a training and equipping of the students. So we're going to be on the campus. So what do we mean by right target? Well, if you're not too clear about this, there is a brother that is clear about it. And I got some help from this brother that's clear about it. And now we're going to listen to some of his fellowship. There's several audio clips here. And the audio, what we have is just transcribe the audio so you can get more retention. This is Brother Lee speaking. And, so you can understand sharing on the freshman. Okay, go ahead.
I do believe you all have picked up the experience already. That is, on the campuses, the best way is to catch the freshman.
Right.
Amen. The first year and the second year.
Right.
After the second year and the third year, hard.
Right. Yeah.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
All the students got settled and they got into their interest.
Right.
It's hard for them to have a chance.
Right.
But when they just got into the college from the high school,
Amen.
They have nothing settled yet.
Right.
And they don't know their direction.
Amen.
But you cut it.
Amen.
You will take them out.
Amen.
It's easy. This I know. And I've been in the young people work for a long, long time. Actually, in 10, nearly, I started the young people work on the school, in the schools. And we learned on the campuses, the easiest one for us to catch is the freshman. Do everything you can at every semester to catch all the freshmen.
Amen.
You must learn the way to catch all the freshmen.
Amen.
Spend every dollar, every dime, every nickel for the freshmen.
Amen.
Do you all agree with me?
Amen.
Okay, do you understand the focus, the target? What is the target?
Freshmen.
Anybody have any question about what he's talking about? Freshmen. Freshmen. You got it? Okay, so this is the target. This is the right people. A campus has many people on it, and they're all great. They all need to be saved. You have different levels of classifications. You have freshmen, sophomores, juniors, seniors, grad students, workers. Okay, what is the target? What's the center? We'll take any of these people that the Lord will give us, but we have to be shooting at something. What are we shooting at?
Freshmen.
Okay, good. Now we have another clip. A second audio clip. Okay.
That the college students, the time that they are most susceptible to the gospel is the first semester as a freshman. After the first year, the second year they become hardened. The third year, they become concrete. There's no way to change them anymore. Don't expect too many senior students will be saved. By the fourth year, it will be over with. Their brain, all of their mind, will be hardened by all those things. They cannot receive anything anymore. The most suitable time is the transition from their high school to the university. At that time, right after the school starts, you have to gain them among the new students. How many you can gain depends on them. If you lose that opportunity, once you miss that, the registration, it will be difficult. No matter how you knock your head against the wall, you have to get that way. That is a right way. You are really wise to sneak in among the registration. Ask them to fill in a form. The new students, they didn't know anything. They thought that the school asked them to fill in a form. That is the best. They all got into your hand. But I feel, brother, your way is very good. It is 80 marks. There are still 20 marks. You still have a lack. Because the afterward follow-up work, if you the follow-up work is done even better, you can even gain more. All the salesmen know. All the salesmen.
Okay, so here you have the right people, and this one talks about the right time for these people. So there's a right people, a right target, and there's a right time. When is the right time? Huh? Very beginning, he uses the word registration. You see it right up there? Registration. Okay, this is orientation. Their orientation to the university. They're just walking in. They're the freshest. They're called freshmen because they're fresh fish. So the registration period, that's the right time. So now we got the right people. We know where we're shooting. And now we've got the right time to do this. Okay, there's one more clip. I think he also talks about the right time. You want to have this, the third audio? Oh, yeah, yeah. Before you start, this is actually Brother Lee being translated. Andrew Yu was translating that. The first one was Brother Lee. Second was Andrew translating Brother Lee. This is also Andrew Yu translating Brother Lee. Yeah.
The freshmen, for their first semester, do your best. Even if you get a cold or a flu, don't try to take leave. In the north, when we grow barley, by May, when the harvest comes, you forget about eating, you forget about drinking. The old folks would say that the barley is ripened. You're still sleeping. Maybe you don't understand. You don't understand what I'm saying yourself. When the barleys are ripe, you have to harvest it fast. If you don't harvest this, then it will fall onto the ground. That means that the head has dropped. The barley has dropped its head. You cannot sleep. In half a day, you have to harvest them. The freshman in their first semester is like the barley beginning to drop their head. Forget about everything. Forget about the Sunday morning meeting. Forget about everything. Just take care of one thing. To get these new students, if I can get 80%, I have to gain 50%. You have to grab that opportunity. What follows, when you have to do much investigation. But I advise you that when you do the studying, don't do the formal.
You have to do the investigation. So it requires study. It requires learning how to do it. And there's a resistance among many of the school administrations toward letting us get to the freshmen. They're very protective. At UT Austin, years ago, some of the fraternities were taking the kids out and getting them drunk. They come to Austin for 2.5 days. So the fraternities and sororities know this is the time to recruit their new class. So they take them out to parties, get them drunk, get them in trouble. So they started tightening down and started limiting access to the freshmen. So many campuses have some restrictions, but you can still find ways. We've heard numerous stories where they were told, you can't do that. And, okay, you can't do that, but you can do something else. So you have to find a way. That's why I like this. Do much investigation. If this way's blocked, go to another way. I'll give you an example of some of the ones at UT. The dorm, they set up the dormitory, where the kids register for the 2.5 days. They check in for the 2.5 day orientation. This is in the summer. And there's a parking garage across the street, all on UT property. So we positioned our students in between the parking garage and the when they had to check in, to have a banner up, you know, welcome UT students, and had the Christian shirts on. Well, administration let us do that the first two orientations, but the last four, they said, no, you're not going to do that. Okay, so what do you think we did? We just said, oh, well, sorry, we just missed that chance. No. Here's the dormitory. Here's the parking garage. The next street is a city street. It's not owned by the university. There's a 10-foot right-of-way that all pedestrians have. You can get out there, and you can sell Bibles, you can sell newspapers, you can scream at people. Well, not obscenely, but it's right-of-way. So we can be out there. So we just moved on the other side of the parking garage while they're still in their car, and we got our same banners, and if they want to roll down their window and take one of our flyers, before they even get to the parking garage, not UT property. Sorry, UT, you can't tell us no because the city owns that, not you. We found a way. We researched it. We got into the city code. That's the city street. There's a 10-foot right-of-way. On that 10-foot right-of-way, you can do this. You have the rights. We have rights, UT. We have rights, so back off. Investigation, okay? So you have to find a way. So now we go, you can take that screen down. Now we go to the right people. Okay, so we have different people to reach these threshold. We got the right target, so we know what we're shooting at. We know the time period. If you can't do anything during the summer, at least before the school starts, a week before school starts, they got to get registered. They can't just show up and sit down in class. They have to be oriented. That has to happen somehow, sometime. And that's what we're talking about. Some schools have a lot of chances in the summer, some very few, but it's got to happen before the fall semester. That's when the big class comes in. So that's the right time. That's the best time. Yes, we stay active, very active the next few weeks after classes start, the first month. September, in our case, we're very active because they're still in this process of adjusting to their new environment. Okay, now we need to know the right people. So what am I talking about here? Right target, right time. What do you think we mean by right people? Who are the right people? Okay, the target's the freshmen. Okay, how about Simon, you come up here. Simon and I are the same generation.
I'm a terrible example.
You're a good example. You're a great example. Yeah. Okay, we got my generation. Then we got this generation. How old are you, Michael? You do great. You're half our age. Okay, so you got these guys here. I'll back out. You got this generation. You got the next generation. Now, do we have any sophomores and or freshmen? Any high school seniors? Any freshmen? Just finish your freshman year. Stand up if you're a freshman. Okay, this sister right here. You come here. Is there a brother freshman? Why don't you come on up here too? So you come right over here. Okay, so this would be three people, right? You got these represent the young generation. Okay, this is the middle generation. This old generation. Okay, are you a freshman?
I am a freshman.
You are a freshman. Okay, how about you be the right target. So we're looking for people like you. Okay, now, among these, who would you most relate to? That one.
Yep.
Okay.
Nothing personal.
What's your name, sister?
Maria.
Maria. Okay. Are you a freshman?
Yeah.
Okay. It just happens in society. We're all staying at Marty's house. Last night, Marty took us. It's Simon and myself and Marty. We're all, you know, we're birds of a feather. We feel so easy to talk about. We talk about this kind of same things, and we just are together. It's just human nature. There's nothing discriminatory. It's just, that's just the way we, that's the way we gather, you know. We gather. So these are the right ones, the best ones. Does that mean I don't go out on the campus? I'm there. And I'll be there until they bury me there. I'm not giving up. I might not be the right one or the best one, but I'm still one. It still matters. And some of the kids actually like us older folks because they realize people their age are all unstable. They don't know what's going on in life. But we've got a few human experiences. We can, you know, we got a little bit on edge. We got a little edge on them on that way. So, but generally, they're looking for the ones they're going to relate to, right? So the right target, the freshman. The right time is the beginning when they register. And the right people are this one. This one. This is the best one. Okay? So we need to train her. We need to equip her so she has some skills how to reach her fellow students. You got it? Okay. Thank you. So that's what we mean by right target, right time, and right people. This is why we need some training and equipping of, was it Maria? Maria. Now we can send Maria, we can stir Maria up and get her excited about go out there. And she goes out there, but she doesn't have the confidence, she doesn't have the skills, she doesn't have the experience. So her ability to help people is limited. It's like sending a soldier out into the field and you don't teach them how to use a rifle, you don't give them the equipment they need, or sending a teacher in the classroom and they haven't had student teaching, they just don't have the practice. Sending a doctor into the surgery operating room and no practice, don't want that. So it makes very much sense to work with these students to equip them because they're the best ones. Okay? That's what we mean by right time. You can write freshmen. You can write write people as a freshman. Right time is the or registration. Right people are the students. Even the upper class. It doesn't have to be Maria doesn't have to be a freshman. She could be a sophomore or junior. Actually, the closer they are in age to the freshman, the better. That's why I picked a freshman. But it can be a sophomore or junior. Students are the best ones. Okay, so then we have this quote under by Brother Lee on the next page. Let's read this here. This was a letter to Brother Don, who used to be with us, went to be with the Lord in 03. We got a lot of help from him. And this, the background of this letter is he wrote a letter to Brother Lee explaining our situation, that we were gaining some dear, precious ones off the campus, and we wanted to keep that going, yet they wanted to go with the training. So how do we work this out? If we send them all the training, then we have no one here to farm and send more to the training. So he was seeking fellowship from Brother Lee, and then this is Brother Lee's response to his fellowship. How about we all read, Dear Brother Don, go. Thank you. Oh, wow. Underline his move today on the earth. So we're not just considering our own locality, our own state, our own country. We're laboring with a view for the whole earth. But if we send them all out and we don't retain some and raise and keep the oil wells pumping or the vineyards producing, we're not going to have any to send around. So that's why he says focus on the U.S. campuses. Focus on the campus. The U.S. campus, this is the fertile ground to raise up the people to meet the needs. U.S. campus, let's all say it, U.S. campuses. Again, U.S. campuses, even major U.S. campuses. You got a lot of major U.S. campuses in the Midwest. You got great campuses. Where are the laborers? Where's the manpower that's going to meet the needs? Well, we have to raise them up. So we're making progress. Okay, D says having a start and continuing annually. So you got to begin somewhere. It's unlikely that you're going to have a team. If you don't have it, there's six teams in the area, two in Illinois, two in Wisconsin, two in Ohio. But some of them are very few members. So those need strengthening. We need to strengthen those. So some of you should pray for the strengthening. Some of you should consider serving to strengthen those. And some students should be considering, what about my campus? What about my campus? What about my campus? What about my classmates? What about the people around me? So begin to consider and have some kind of start and then keep it going. You have to, this is a big failure in the past, is we started something, but we never maintained it. So it just starts and stops and starts and stops. Well, that brings in discouragement. So in fellowship, consider having a start. And E, researching your university's summer schedule, freshman orientations, first day class, to see what it looks like. Where can you be effective? So you have to do a little bit of studying there. Then F says gather the information on graduating high school seniors to be ready to receive or our own new freshmen and train them as our junior co-workers. Well, this afternoon or tomorrow, we'll have a session, a breakout session, where we're going to review our high school seniors, your kids. How many of you have kids in high school? Okay, a couple here, okay. We're talking about your children. These are the recovery children, and we want to know where they're going to go to college. We're trying to close this gap. So one thing we can do is find out, are some of them coming to our colleges? And if they are, start beginning. Begin. Start working. Start praying. Start considering how can they enter in. And we know not all of them are interested in, you know, we get them at UT, the ones that are running away from us. We understand that. But there are some that do have a heart, and they want to participate, and they want to be led. They want to enter in, so we need to identify them and work with them. And then G says, utilizing every burdened community saint to help spiritually and practically. So the community saints obviously have different burdens, but those who have a burden for this age group, they should be utilized. They should be included. And we'll have some of them show up after the Lord's table, utilizing them to help spiritually and practically. And then H, let's read H together. Okay, so that just means we want to do things in coordination and fellowship. Maybe the brothers in your locality aren't here, don't have the burden, don't have the time, but you do. So don't just strike out on your own. You have to bring it into fellowship, bring it into prayer, tell them what your burden is, fellowship about it, pray about it, and see how things would open up. So you get the blessing of the oneness of the body. So follow that principle. And then I says, fighting to remain in one accord. Well, it's easy to be in one accord when we're not doing anything. Everybody's happy. Nobody's endeavoring. So, you know, it's just real easy because we're all just kind of enjoying the large meeting here. And there's nothing going on to bear fruit, labor. But as soon as we get involved with vital groups, fruit bearing, gaining people, then opinions come out, ideas come out, ways come out, and you have to remain in one accord. So That's fine. Good. Try. Get some traction. Do something, but do it and maintain the one accord. If you lose the one accord, then we're finished. Because the new ones will pick up. These ones laboring together, they don't love each other. They don't care for each other. They're talking about each other. They really don't appreciate each other. The world's full with that. The whole world is like that. But in the church, God has reserved a blessing of oneness. So we want to maintain and fight for that one accord. And then J, the home's critical role in the internship. So we will have a time after the Lord's table to focus on that particular topic. Okay, let's read Roman numeral 2 together. Okay, so this implies that there's nothing going on. There's no students on your campus. There's no full-timers, but you have a burden to bear fruit. And you have a burden to reach this age group. Then here's some fellowship. Anybody in this room like this? There's no students and no full-timers. Anybody like this in this room? Okay, there's some here. These may be different places. Okay, so needing one person, one Don Cush. This is Don right here. With a burden. It just begins with somebody who has a heart for man at this age level. You just don't sleep so well when you realize so many people passing through that campus and they're not hearing about God's economy. This is the best time. The most open people. So you have to have one person with a burden. And then, if you can find other burden saints to pray with. First of all, pray. So you might share your burden. Hey, I am burdened for this campus. Is anybody else burdened for this campus? Or pray for someone. So you have a little bit of a little fire there, a couple coals together to begin to pray, to open to the Lord, to seek the Lord. Prayer is the way they took in Acts. Prayer, the Spirit, and the Word. So pray, Lord, what about? Start crying out to the Lord, what about? What about this campus? And then, beginning with a table. You have to have some way to reach out. And maybe you don't have a campus club. You can't get on campus with a table. Well, you can put a table somewhere near campus, like the illustration I just gave. You ride on it's called the drag at UT. It's where the bookstore is, where the coffee shops are, where the kids hang out. When they go right out, they step off campus and step right into this area right here. It's a great place to have a table or have a way to reach people. And then, if possible, having an evening Bible study. We just heard, was it yesterday, you shared, Paul, about Grandpa's Bible study. What was that story? Come on.
So there were a handful of saints. They were a home meeting group in Austin who were burdened to just go to a city where there was no church, no saints, nothing, and just step foot on a campus and just see what it was like. And they went there, and they walked around the campus, and lo and behold, there was a table set up with an elderly gentleman sitting behind the table, and the sign on the table said Grandpa's Bible Study. And they struck up a conversation with this brother, and they discovered he actually had a good handful of students that he was shepherding, that he had a Bible study with. It was just one person, but he had a burden for the young people, and he wanted to impart God's word into them. So he was able to do something.
How many grandpas we got in here? How about grandmas? How many grandmas? How about grandma's Bible study? This wasn't someone that meets with us. This was just a Christian who wanted to reach out to man. He had a heart for these people. So he set up a table, Grandpa's Bible study, and he had a group of them responding. It's possible. Okay. Inviting students to weekend activities, lunch, barbecue, your home, just to involve them. And they'll have friends. Seeking people usually have seeking friends. So then you begin to get a cluster of them. And this is happening down the road from Austin in Belton at a highly religious Baptist school. We don't have a church there. We don't have a team there. We don't have any saints there. But we're doing something there. They drive down the road and they gather these kids and they're gaining. I believe one day, soon, there'll be a church in Belton. Just because some community saints, they're not full-timers. One of them's a master's student. But most are community saints. They just drive down to that campus and they gather these kids and dispense Christ into them. It's going to happen. Some burden ones. Okay, then be opening to at least one student the possibility of a summer internship the next summer. So if you can begin like that and then you have some students that are responding, then you can begin speaking to them about next summer, let's do something even a little bit more and have some very small beginning of an internship where they're alongside. Okay, then preparing an internship. Let's read number 3. Okay, so we have an internship. We have full-timers. We have students. And A, we make mention at the beginning of the school year concerning the upcoming summer internship. Why do we do it at the beginning of the school year? So now we're talking about, let's just fast forward to September 2016. You know what we're going to do with in the first couple of weeks of class? We're going to tell them, our students, our freshmen that we're going to be meeting in the next few months, we're going to tell them about Summer 2017. Why do we do this? Because all the companies have a job expo, the second week of the fall semester for the next summer. A year, almost a year out, signing them up for their summer with IBM or Google or Apple. They're all there recruiting their summer interns at the beginning of September. Are you following me? It's 9 or 10 months before the internship happens. So if we come in the month before, if we come in May and say, oh, by the way, would you like to have an internship? Sorry, I've already signed all, you know, I'm not available. This happened to us a couple years ago. So we got wise and we began saying something right after they come in. And it's a good time because the freshmen just receive the benefit of being being cared for by interns. So they're freshly cared for. So and some of them want to give back. So we have a video or two here. Just we show this to them. We set aside a night. We have the interns come up and give their testimony. We have the freshmen who we just met months before say how they were impacted. So we're selling it. We're letting the freshmen speak, and then we also show a couple of these promos. So we'll just give you an idea here. There's two of them. Show them something like that and explain a little bit what's going on. Then we have another promotional, same kind of thing about the internship. So that was a picture of what we do, some of the events during our summer orientation when the freshmen are there. Here's another one. Thank you.
I could summarize my internship in one word.
One word.
I'd say great, wonderful, joyful.
So enjoyable.
Really refreshing, fun. My favorite part of this summer internship was just caring for freshmen. Definitely helping out the freshmen, going out to their ranch before we started.
Being able to be with all these other Christians laboring.
One thing I learned from this internship, how to...
Basically how to meet people.
How to care for people.
That you can't do it on your own.
That I need to be in a group. One piece of advice I would give to anyone thinking about doing an internship is just to do it. To do it. Do the internship.
This is worth your time. And I have no regrets.
No regrets.
So that's something we'll show them. So we play this in September when the freshmen that we just met that summer, so we're putting it into their thought that they can be with this group, it's their group, they can be cared for in this group, and they can help grow this group. So we already had them thinking about their next summer. So that's A there. B is having periodic meetings throughout the school year to give a vision concerning our labor in the summer, address basic questions. C, developing a brochure, an application for the internship. In your front pocket, there's a little photocopy. It's this one here. It's a brochure we give them that makes it more official, gives them explanation of the responsibilities, what they're going to learn to do, their job responsibilities, the benefits, the goals. Even they can receive a stipend. Some of them have to have summer jobs. Their parents say, you got to earn money. You have to have an internship that pays. There's paid internships and there's non-paid internships. Their parents say, sorry, wish you could do that, but you need to make some money. So why can't we meet some of their needs? The world's doing that. So we, those that need some help, we help them. We employ them to labor with us. So that brochure explains that. And then C is developing, okay, we just mentioned that. D, seeing the necessity and value of part-time students. Some say, well, I can't. I'm taking a class. That's fine. Take a class, and then the rest of your time, help us out. So of our 47 or 50, let's just round to 50 interns this summer, a lot of them are part-time. Probably 30 of them are going to be part-time with us. That means they can only give us a week, or they can only give us a certain day of the week, or they only give us part of a day. We'll take whatever they can give us. They're very valuable to help us meet the freshmen. In addition to that, we have, when the freshmen aren't coming, then we have True School. Many of them help us with our True Schoolers. And then we do some gospel visitation, mission trips. So we occupy, we can occupy most of their summer, fill up their time. They're with us. They're Bible reading. They're just not contacting freshmen. They're Bible reading. They're reading the ministry. They're in prayer groups. They're visiting. They're in the homes. They have a breakfast in the home. They have an evening meeting in the home. They're connecting with the community saints. They're connecting with freshmen when the freshmen are there. And they're with the full-timers the rest of the time. Fill it up. Okay, E, providing a series of meetings throughout the spring term to the students who have committed to the upcoming internship. We gave them a vision. We built them together as a team. We had practical questions. Toward the end of the spring, we had some missions, Bible reading challenge. They got ready for that. They took a blending trip. They got dinner in the homes. They designed a T-shirt for the internship. Let me jump down to carrying out an internship. We have a pop-up here we want to get in before we break. So A, carrying out an internship, trying to bring them to the team reunion. That's right here. How many of you are students? Stand up. All the students stand up. How many would you like to be trained and equipped to serve on your campus? Raise your hand, all of you. Thank you. Okay, consider. Even if your campus does not have an internship, wherever you're in school, what about coming to Chicago? You don't have to intern in your... We have kids. We're taking some from Belton. We're taking some from other churches that they can't provide an internship. We can, so we train them. You don't have to... I mean, it's best if you're on your own campus, but it's not limited. Develop a training. We'll get into that. B, we'll have some fellowship in the future about that. Working together in groups, practicing life habits, regular tabling, following up daily on a new contact, on new contact signups, having an event during our orientations, and then developing and practicing gospel preaching. We have a pop-up here. Right? Champagne. Carla, are you here developing and practicing gospel preaching? Who's popping up here? All right. They can adjust that, right?
Hi, I'm Carla, and we're from Champaign. So this last school year, after doing the internship during the summer, a few of us were encouraged to continue preaching the gospel during the school year. So we set up a time on Fridays. It was like from 3 to 4, just 1 hour each week. And we'd go out on campus and we'd just preach the gospel. And looking back, it was probably the most, the most profitable time during my first semester. So I did it the fall semester, but I just found excuses not to do it the second semester. And so seeing the difference, I can definitely say that, giving that 1 hour each week was definitely, there was so much, release of the Spirit. And it was definitely an all-around saving experience, us speaking the gospel and for those hearing it. And so I'm hoping that this coming school year, it's definitely something that, we continue.
Just to reinforce what you said, this burden really originated during the summer internship, the previous summer. And actually one of the newer students suggested asking, can we carry out this momentum that we practiced throughout the summer and practice it every week during the regular school year? And so I think that was one of the really big helpful practices that came out throughout the internship, was to develop this habit of preaching the gospel. I think, one of the outline points has said that we're learning by doing. And this is really what we experienced throughout this time. And oftentimes, in my experience, I was paired with either Jason or Ken, brothers who are in slightly different stages than myself. But I found...
It's okay to get out of the campus when you're old!
But I found that this was extremely helpful, too. That we can be paired with someone slightly older, slightly younger, whatever you're at. We learned to coordinate with each other throughout the time. I had to take the lead to talk to them because they were more inclined to talk to me than them. But during that time, they would pray, right? They would pray for my speaking. They would pray on behalf of what the Lord wanted to do in that situation. So I thought these healthy life practices developed through this time. But it's important to note that this burden originated during that summer internship. So you never know what will come out throughout giving your summer to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Very good. So developing a habit of practicing gospel preaching, then I having a weekly truth pursuit, J caring for the human needs of the interns, K, meals in the saints' homes, encourage nest building. That means the interns are getting connected with the home, so when the freshmen come, they can take them right into an environment that they're already related to, working with. And then L, encouraging their participation in the summer semi-annual training and the college training. That can be part of the internship. You got them for two months? That's a great, great way. We're going to get an announcement on that soon about the upcoming college training. So that's part of the internship. The semi-annual training, if they're ready for that, that's part of their internship, bringing them into the ministry. Awesome opportunity, life-changing. Okay, I think we're at 9:45, which is when we need to take a break. We'll take about a 15-minute break, and we'll come back for the Lord's table at 10. Do you need announcements here? We're good to go. Okay.